Tonight we continue again with our studies of the commandments and the larger catechism. So tonight we're still on commandment 5, and you find that in Exodus 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 verse 12, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And tonight we'll be looking at larger catechism questions 127 and 128. So question 127, what is the honour that inferiors owe to their superiors? The honour which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behaviour, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to, defence and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks and the nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love, that so they may be an honour to them and to their government. Now, the fifth commandment deals with the question of honouring. Honour your father and mother. And we noticed last week that in its broader sense, this commandment refers to three classes of people: inferiors, superiors, and equals. By inferiors, we mean children to superiors, their parents, or workers to superiors, their bosses, or subjects, inferiors, to their superiors, who would be rulers, or members of the church to their superiors, elders. And equals, of course, are as children. Two children are equal to parents, equal to elders, equal to rulers, equal. So we have these different classes: inferiors, superiors, and equals. And the next six questions in the larger catechism are dealing with these three classes and looking at these three classes in the light of the sins forbidden and the duties required. So the sins forbidden and the duties required of inferiors is what we'll be looking at tonight, and then superiors, and then equals. So that gives us six further questions on the catechism. So we're looking at inferiors, and we're told here, what is the honour that inferiors owe to their superiors? And the honour which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behaviour. Reverence. Respect. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It would seem that reverence and honour goes beyond obeying. You could obey outwardly without honouring. But of course in Scripture, where there's a command to obey, it means to obey not just outwardly, but to obey in your heart. And it means to obey with that reverence and respect for your superior. So that means honouring, respecting, looking up to, giving the proper position to. You and I, we have a great tendency to pride, and rather we are to humble ourselves before others, prefer others rather than ourselves, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, and submitting particularly to those who are set over us. In our words, not with grumbling words and mumbling and moaning, but also particularly in thought, with respect. Jesus tells a parable about a man who had two sons. And he said to one of his sons, "Go and work in the vineyard today." And he said, "No." And then he regretted, and he went and he worked in the vineyard. And then he said to his other son, "Go and work in the vineyard." And the son said, "Yes, I'll do that." But he didn't go. So who obeyed his father? Who reverenced his father? The one who, yes, he said no at the beginning, but then he repented and did it. And Jesus is contrasting here the publicans and sinners with the Pharisees. The publicans and sinners, some of them repenting and doing their father's will, and the Pharisees saying, "Oh yes, we're holy people, we're good people, very good at talking, but when it came to action, they weren't performing the actions." God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Because man looks on the outward appearance, man tends to respect and honour and praise the Pharisee. But God sees the heart, and he's looking for the right attitude of heart. We can sin in thought and in word as well as in deed. God hates hypocrisy. So reverence then is the first thing that inferiors owe to their superiors. And then we're told that we owe obedience, the duty of prayer and thanksgiving for them. The duty of prayer and thanksgiving. We're to be thankful for those that God sets over us. We're to be thankful for our parents. Now, no parent is perfect, but we are to be thankful for our parents. We're to see those good points in them and appreciate them. We're to be thankful for others set over us, thankful for our elders in the church, thankful for our rulers, our Prime Minister, our Queen, our Prime Minister, First Minister in Scotland, our Members of Parliament, our judges, those in positions of authority in our land. We should show respect to them. Now, we live in a day when people are constantly trying to put down on others and criticise and demean and mock and ridicule. But that's not a godly attitude. In fact, it's an ungodly one. There's a great tendency in our day to be in rebellion. Children in rebellion to their parents. We hear of this climate rebellion that's going on. Children, yes, in rebellion. People in rebellion against their rulers. Workers in rebellion against their bosses, as it were, and even within the church sometimes, rebellion against those who are their leaders in the church. But honour thy father and mother means honour, yes, your father and mother, but also other people that God places in positions over you. Be thankful for them. Thank God for them. They might have faults, and yet they all have good points too. Thank God for them and pray for them. Pray for your rulers, pray for your elders, and seek God's grace to be thankful. The next point is, imitate their virtues and graces. Children learn a lot from their parents through imitation. That's how they learn to speak, and they learn so many things, behavior, through imitating their parents. Now, it's not just at a very young age that children are to be imitating their parents, but they're to continue to do that in all good things. And similarly, imitating our leaders in good things, and leaders in the church. Paul says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Follow those in positions of leadership when they do what is good. Let them set an example to you and follow their good example. Don't follow, of course, their evil example, their virtues and graces. Imitate their virtues and graces, and give willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels. Children have a duty to be obedient. They don't always like to be obedient. We didn't when we were children, did we? Sometimes we wanted to do our own thing. And that, of course, is wrong, but that is the heart of man. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden and told to be obedient, but they were disobedient, and they ate the forbidden fruit. And so you and I are born into this world as people who tend to be disobedient. Disobedience is natural, and there's a kind of rebellion in our hearts against being told what to do. We don't like people telling us what to do. I know best. I'm right. I think I understand better than you do. I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that. Today we're in this very rebellious world. And there's an unwillingness to obey those who are placed over us. But God is looking for obedience. And not with eye service as men pleasers. In your place of work, it's not a matter of doing what you're told to do when the boss is around and watching. It's a matter of doing it to the glory of God. For God's sake, aware that God's eye is upon you. More concerned about God's eye than about the boss's eye. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but obeying from the heart. Obeying the law of the land also from the heart. It's our moral duty. We might disagree with some laws, but yet, unless they are contrary to the word of God, we should obey them. We might feel, well, I want to do this or that, whatever law it is, sometimes driving laws and different laws like that, we might not feel all that happy about them, yet our duty is to be obedient. And that's why it's a serious thing for a Christian to be found a lawbreaker. It's a serious thing. If, of course, the government are to forbid us to worship God, we can't obey that. If they forbid the printing or distribution of Bibles, we can't obey that. If, as the Chinese government does, if it forbids the translation of certain good books and forbids Christians to worship in a certain way, Christians have to obey God rather than man. And the next point is due submission to their corrections. Now, as children, sometimes there was a sullenness and a sulkiness and maybe a hardening of the heart against the correction. But that's not right. We have duly to submit to the corrections. And to the corrections in our workplace, the corrections in our country, in our church. There should be humility and a good spirit about it, a willingness and a cheerfulness and a joyfulness in submitting to those who correct us. Fidelity to defence and maintenance of their persons and authority. Fidelity, loyalty to and defence, loyalty to our parents to seek to defend them, loyalty to our elders, defending them as best we can, loyalty to our rulers. But what if they sin? What if they do something scandalous? Well, of course, that's not to be covered up. All have faults. But if there is some serious sin, then that, of course, we have to stand against what is evil. All have their bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love. These infirmities would be minor faults. Charity covereth a multitude of sin. It's not that charity can take away sins. Sin is used there in the sense of minor faults. And love excuses minor faults. It covers it. But if there's some crime going on, if there's some sexual immorality, say, or some stealing or whatever it is that is contrary to the law of God, then that has to be, and the law of the country, that has to be opposed and stood against. So bearing with our infirmities and covering them in love, that so they may be an honour to them and to their government. Honouring, in that sense, those who are set over us. That brings us then to question 128. What are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? The sins of inferiors against their superiors are all neglect of the duties required toward them, envy at, contempt of, and rebellion against their persons and places in their lawful counsels, commands, and corrections, cursing, mocking, and all such refractory and scandalous carriage as proves a shame and dishonour to them and their government. So we're coming now, the first catechism we looked at tonight were the duties required, the duty required being to honour those set over us. And now the sins, the sins of inferiors. And first in the list of sins is neglect of duties. Remember how Christ pointed this out to the Pharisees. They were stressing the Sabbath, the Sabbath commandment, and criticizing Jesus and his disciples, Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, his disciples for eating corn on the Sabbath. And Jesus points out to the Pharisees that they were wrong in breaking the fifth commandment. With regard to the fourth commandment, they were wrong, of course, in that they didn't recognize the place of works of necessity and mercy. Works of necessity in healing the sick, works of mercy too, and necessity in food, and so on. But the Pharisees, he says in Matthew 15, verses 4 to 6, they were allowing people and themselves not supporting needy parents under the pretext of giving money to the church or to the temple. It is Corban, it is a gift. I'm giving it to the temple, I'm giving it to the church, so I don't have to provide for my parents when they're in need. And Jesus says that's a breach, a serious breach of the fifth commandment. To honour one's parents means to care for them, to do what we can for their support, for their comfort, for their good, if they are in need, to show our love to them. So the Pharisees were guilty of sinning in that way. All neglect of duties required towards them, and envying at superiors, finding fault with God's providence and those whom he sets over us, envying them, perhaps at work, envying somebody and saying, why have they been promoted and not me? Why are they in that position? And not prepared to give that honour to those who are appointed to higher positions in God's providence. Sometimes we have to accept a lower position. We might think that we're perhaps more gifted than others and that we deserve this or deserve that, but we have to be content with God's providence. And that's the way to godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Not envying our superiors. Not trying to ridicule them or put down on them out of envy. But rather recognizing them. Even in the church it can sometimes happen that people complain that so-and-so is an elder and they're not. And this sort of grumbling about that, or so-and-so is made a deacon and they're not, and why is this person respected in that way or not respected or whatever. So envying at and contempt of, despising. It's interesting how in our society today there's so much contempt for leaders, contempt for Donald Trump, contempt for Boris Johnson. I was hearing of one parent who was teaching her child never to say that they hate anyone. But yet at the same time she was saying, it's all right to say you hate Boris Johnson and you hate Donald Trump, but everyone else, you must never say that you hate them. How strange. How crazy a world. God has appointed these men. God has placed them in positions of authority. And as long as they are there in these positions, we might feel that their private lives are very far from what they should be. We might feel that they're not the wisest of governors. But we must give them respect. They are in the position that God has placed them in, these men, and they are to be respected for it. So all contempt of those who are rulers, despising them, that cannot be right. And rebellion against their person and places. Rebellion is wrong, of course. When Absalom rebelled against his father David, that was very wrong, wasn't it? And it brought upon himself, eventually, the sentence of death. But as with all things, there have to be limits. Some people criticized the reformers for rebelling against the church authorities and the Pope and the bishops. But there comes a point in time when rebellion is right. If those in positions of power overstep the mark too far. It was right for people in Germany to rebel against Nazi rule, against Hitler, because he was so evil and he had become so wicked and he was so destructive. If a parent was in danger of murdering a little child, it would be right for an older child to restrain that parent and to keep him back from doing it. So there are always in these things limits. There's a limit. And the reformers taught that even with regard to governments, there is a certain limit, and there's a time when countries have a right and people have a right to rise up against their rulers. The Puritans rose up against, and the Covenanters against Charles I because of his trying to dominate and rule the church and destroy the Church of Christ. So, rebellion, normally we mustn't be in rebellion in the family or in the church or in society, but there's limits. And there's times when it is right to rebel, to resist the powers that be. Rebellion against their persons and places in their lawful counsels, commands and corrections. We mustn't rebel against lawful counsels. Think of the Jewish authorities, how this Jewish Sanhedrin said to Peter and to John that they must not speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter replied, whether it be right in your sight, in the eyes of God, to obey you rather than God, judge you. You judge whether it's right for us to obey you or God. But as far as we're concerned, we're going to obey God. And we're going to carry on preaching in the name of Jesus. You can threaten us as much as you like, but we're going to obey God rather than man. So, it's obedience to their lawful counsels, commands, and corrections. Corrections. Yes, we must accept corrections. And in the church too, accept corrections. Church discipline. Sometimes there's individuals and they say, well, we're not going to accept this. We're not going to bow before the church's authority. And this becomes what's called contumacious. They're not, perhaps, when they're asked to come before the eldership to give an account for their behavior, they're not prepared to come. They reject the authority of the eldership. And that is rejecting the God-appointed authority. Of course, if the eldership of the church is commanding us to do things that are wrong and to cover up immorality and to do things that are wrong, then we've got a duty to obey God rather than man. But otherwise, we have to be submissive. Submissive to our parents, receiving corrections. Submissive to the church, accepting the corrections and the rebukes and discipline of the church, submissive within the state to the corrections of the state. Cursing, mocking, and all such refractory and scandalous carriage. Well, cursing, of course, is wrong. Swearing. Damning people, and F this and F that, so common in our society today, but all that coarse language is totally outside what is appropriate, what is right for those who are submissive to God, for those who are God's people. God's name must not be used. We should never wish evil upon anyone. Bless and curse not, says Christ. Never curse people, but rather bless them. Bless and curse not. Swear not at all. All cursing and mocking, making a fool of parents or elders or rulers, that again would be very wrong. Now, of course, sometimes we can make a good-natured joke, but there's all the difference in the world between a good-natured joke and holding up to contempt and ridicule and to be despised and laughed at and held in contempt. We must love those whom God has set over us and seek to be respectful towards them. So all mocking and scorning and despising is wrong. And refractory, scandalous carriage. Refractory means stubborn and rebellious. Refractory, stubborn, rebellious conduct, showing contempt by our action. We think of Shimei. Remember when David had to leave Jerusalem, when Absalom rebelled against him, and how Shimei came out and was cursing David and casting mud and stones at David and his people. And David said, leave him, leave him. Leave him to God. Maybe God will see what he's doing. And maybe God will feel sorry for us in this situation. Well, the day came when Shimei suffered God's judgment and was put to death. That contempt for authority is condemned. We think too of, remember Miriam, how she spoke against Moses. And as a result was struck with leprosy. Moses prayed for her. And God said, it's right that she should suffer for several days this leprosy, so that she will understand her sin and be ashamed of herself and her sin. In fact, Exodus 21 verse 15 says, anyone who would smite his father should be put to death. And we're told in 1 Samuel 10:27 about certain wicked men, sons of Belial, who despised Saul when he was made king and said, how can this man save us? And they brought him no presents. Children of Belial. No, we must respect those who are placed in positions of authority over us. Now, as we go through these commandments, we see surely every one of us sees sin in our own lives. And we look back, and I can look back in my own life, and I can think of times when I did not honour and respect my parents the way I should have done. And we look at our lives and we see areas in our lives where we have not been as respectful to authorities, whether it be in the church or in society and in the government. And so we have to examine our own hearts in these things and seek to repent of our sins and to correct our own lives and to humble ourselves before the Lord, seeking the blood of Christ to wash away our sins, and seeking also the enabling of the Holy Spirit to live God-honoring, humble, loving, obedient Christian lives.